This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
GPU technology in the Far East.
HPC 360 in the Midwest.
And SGI CEO heads north. Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for December 16th, 2011. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Well, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael, or good night for you. You are not where you usually are.
No, I'm in China. It actually is morning, but it's very early in the morning on Saturday.
Very early in the morning Saturday.
I'm in Beijing covering the GPU Technology Conference, NVIDIA's GPU Technology Conference in Asia in Beijing. So I'm a little off the regular time zone here, to say the least.
Well, we both had glamorous travel this week. I myself am just back from Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, where I covered the HPC 360 conference. So we're getting a little late in the year, but we still got a lot of activity going on the conference front. People trying to make good use of these last few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good time to actually have a conference to finish out the year. And we both had interesting places to go. So,
well, tell me about the GPU Technology Conference. You go first. You got a lot of people out there.
Yeah, it was a very well attended conference. I think there was like 1,400 or 1,500 people here. This is the first conference in the Asia conference. They've had some actually in Japan, but this is the GTC Asia conference in China. The first one that they've done here, and lots of people. There were a lot of sessions, parallel tracks, and all sorts of things. There was the life science track, CFD and manufacturing. There was an exascale track. The sessions I went through were well attended. There was the keynote at the very beginning by the CEO Jensen Huang, and he gave a nice little opening session there for everybody. And I think there must have been at least 1,000 people in that room. Steve Scott actually wrapped it up, and I think, again, it was well attended. But there were some cool announcements, too.
NVIDIA certainly knows how to throw a conference. I haven't been to the ones in Asia yet. We've certainly been to the ones that they've had in the U.S. They've been getting a growing following and are starting to make claims of having the second most important conferences in supercomputing.
Yeah, and it's amazing. This is, you know, we sort of forget this is not an old established company. It was like founded, I think, in 1993. It's less than 20 years old, and it's got a big footprint now. It's not a huge company, but in HPC and elsewhere, it's a sort of a big mover and shaker right now.
Well, they've done a good job promoting the stories of what people are doing with GPUs. They get a lot of the news coming out. They had some interesting product enhancements as well. Why don't we maybe hit one highlight from each side? Give me one from the technology side.
Well, the biggest news from my point of view that came out is basically NVIDIA decided to open up the CUDA compiler technology that they've been developing over the past 5 years.
Yeah.
It's not exactly open source in the strictest sense. They're going to put it on the LLVM open platform, but it's not like people are going to be contributing and NVIDIA is going to incorporate this. NVIDIA is still going to be controlling the source code, but basically it'll be available. It'll be public. For everybody, for academics especially, I think will be very interested in using this, and for other commercial developers. And what that'll do is people will be able to develop different front ends for it for different languages other than just C and Fortran. And on the back end, we'll be able to, and I think this is even more important, be able to develop different targets. So there could be a CUDA target. I think there will be a CUDA target for AMD GPUs pretty soon. And maybe for Intel Mike, and maybe for some other even more exotic platforms. So it could be big news.
Well, I'll tell you why it's so important. I agree that this is the biggest announcement they're making around this show. But it's important because of Intel coming out with the Knight's Corner platform. Intel had that announcement with supercomputing. That's going to be the big competing technology to NVIDIA, Tesla, the idea that you've got an on-chip accelerator that you're going to use with Intel tools. And to me, a lot of that battle comes down to software. And NVIDIA is trying to get as many people used to CUDA, using CUDA as it can, before Knight's Corner is a widely available option. And, you know, it's an interesting, compelling move by NVIDIA. They're going to have to continue to drive adoption. They've done a great job with it so far. To get to a point where you can say you're threatening Intel, I think that to your point about the youth of this company and how far they've come so quickly, I think is absolutely noteworthy.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. In fact, and the CUDA, the opening of CUDA, I think is part of sort of this larger strategy that NVIDIA is going down. Just last week, it was during Supercomputing, they announced their OpenAC Directives platform, or not theirs, but the OpenAC Directives programming paradigm for this. And that's actually a non-CUDA way of getting the GPU parallelism out of programs, out of applications. So, and that's going to be an open standard as well, and probably incorporated into OpenMP. So I think they're trying to basically open up the software platform for their products so that it will look as open as what they have for x86 now and compete on a more level playing field.
Well, that actually contributes to what I see as one of the bigger questions for HPC on the horizon. I mean, not to be all chip focused on it or anything, but on the processor side, there's a fundamental question of whether the future of HPC by the end of this decade is x86 based or ARM based. And NVIDIA would certainly like it to be ARM.
Yeah, they definitely would. And yeah, I mean, they didn't talk a whole lot about ARM here, but yeah, that's coming as part of their strategy as well. But, I think this is just strategic moves. They're getting set. And I think they realized in the long run, even though they might lose some market share with some of these moves, I mean, if they open it up, it'd be easier for other processor technologies to latch onto these things. But I think they want to expand the pie. Just ride that up.
Well, the other thing NVIDIA has been focusing on is not just the technology, but the applications. They've done a lot in the PR side to popularize what can be done with a lot of these applications. And you had a good meeting with someone on the genomics side.
Right. That was actually another fairly important news. This is BGI, the big Chinese genomics research organization. They do a lot of DNA sequencing there. I think they're the biggest in the world that does this. I think they've got more sequencers than anybody else. And they've started to port a lot of their major applications, their analytics applications, to take the sequence data and generate basically the meaningful information from it. So they ported three of those applications with GPUs, and they're getting anywhere between 10x speed up around there to a little bit more, maybe 30 on those application sets. So able to run the analytics a lot faster. They're even using the Tianhe 1A to do some of the even larger simulations or the larger analytics for some of these. So they're heavily into GPUs now all of a sudden. That's actually significant, since they're basically the largest research group in the world.
Well, yeah, Michael, I enjoyed the article that you posted on it based on the conversation you had with Dr. Bingcheng Wang at BGI. It's always interesting to me to see these applications coming out of these conferences, and nice to see these examples, especially in China, which is still one of the important growth areas in HPC.
Yeah, there were a lot of Chinese developers, obviously, at this conference, a lot of interesting sessions on that. This group here in Asia, there were actually people from Japan and even Europe. It was an international conference in many ways, and just a lot of interesting applications being presented here. So, yeah, I think this is something to look forward to when we hit the San Jose conference in the spring. I think a lot of people will actually be back there talking about the work they've done since then. And I wasn't the only one in an exotic locale this past week.
That's right.
The interesting hinterlands of the U.S. out there in Illinois at the H60 conference. I know you've been there before, and it's got this emphasis on manufacturing. What news can you give us from there?
Well, yeah, the HPC 360 conference, this is the third time I've been to it in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. It's right next to the University of Illinois and also NCSA, which is there. I'll start by saying I did get to go on a tour of the NCSA facilities. I hung out with Merle Giles a little bit while I was there, and I saw where they were preparing to put in the Blue Water System, interesting computer room where they got a lot of different technologies in, trying out different things, and talking about their work with the endemic project and helping out the missing middle. But getting to the proper part of the conference, it's primarily coordinated by R Systems, and also had sponsorship from Intel, AMD, Dell, BlueArc, all giving presentations as part of it. But what really makes it work for me is the using the Midwest locale to have an emphasis on manufacturing.
Yeah, I like that idea too. I mean, we have different verticals in HPC that have these small conferences. There's one in oil and gas. There's, you know, visualization ones, but this is the one that concentrates on manufacturing. I think it's
right.
A well-deserved vertical, certainly, and I'm glad they do that every year there.
Yeah, well, it's the biggest vertical market by revenue in commercial segments, and yet we see a lot of these other conferences focused on other verticals. You get the HPC and Financial Markets Conference, you got SEG, you have BioIT World, HPC and Biomed. This is our chance to go in and talk about what the challenges are for the manufacturing community. They had presentations from software vendors, they had presentations from end users, they had presentations from would-be adopters, including some nice demonstrations of CFD models of drag on racing bicycle wheels, showing that if they could improve the efficiency of the drag, the aerodynamic drag on the wheel by 3%, which over the course of a race was enough to make a difference of being in 15th place versus being on the podium. So that, I think, opened some people's eyes to the importance of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely in the manufacturing, there's these little percentage differences in all aspects of that make a big difference in either, you know, product cost or product technology design or in this case, you know, placing in a sport. So
right.
It's always interesting. It's the devil's in the details in manufacturing, and those end user stories are always interesting.
Well, and the reason I really liked this particular story was, to me, that had everything to do with the driving factors for small manufacturers to adopt HPC the first time. You can have a conversation about faster time to market, but really, I see that as an eventual benefit of using HPC. Once you have it established, you can start getting your designs to market more quickly. For someone who's evaluating doing HPC the first time, there's no way you get to market faster using HPC the first time than you do building a prototype, because you've got to create your digital models, consolidate it with your physical testing. You've got to, you know, get the software and the hardware. By the time you do, it can take years to really adopt HPC effectively and get it to be part of your workflow. The thing that will get a small manufacturer over that hurdle is not time to market, but rather quality. If you can show a small manufacturer who considers himself to be an engineering or R&D leader that he can make a higher quality product using HPC, that'll get him over that jump every time. And then that's the eventual path to everything else, like time to market.
Right. And I think that's basically the story of HPC in manufacturing. It should, you know, that's the way to sell that, and the manufacturers who figure that out, I think, will be able to take advantage of it, just as you said.
Yeah, so that was an interesting conference for me. I've enjoyed going to that one. There was one other piece of news we had in the HPC industry, and you and I were both traveling while it happened. I was on a plane, you were in Beijing, but I got back here and saw the news that Mark Barrenechea had departed SGI.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of information. Basically, the announcement from SGI was he's quitting. The whole organization as CEO and board member, effective, I think, January, which is a couple weeks away, and he's just gone. And it was a big surprise, I think, to to everybody, at least outside of SGI. I don't know if it was internally known, but I guess Ronald Verdorn is expected to serve, I guess, as the interim CEO as the board searches for a new CEO.
Yeah, and Mark apparently has left the SGI to join OpenText, which is an enterprise software company based in Waterloo, Ontario. I think you picked up one of Mark's tweets that he was going to have to get his winter clothes ready again.
Yeah, that's going to be a big change for him out of Silicon Valley and
right
to the hinterlands of Canada. Oh my gosh! Okay.
Well, I wanted to make a special point in this story because Mark to me deserves a lot of credit. Now SGI has been through kind of a rocky history here, but going back to 2009, SGI had gone bankrupt and Rackable bought the assets out of bankruptcy. It was the case of a fewer number of employees buying the assets of the company with the larger number of employees and starting to integrate those businesses. And for as many challenges as they had in front of them, I think you have to give Mark credit for bringing SGI back to relevance in HPC again. It's still not the company it once was, but few companies are the company that SGI once was. And we've seen SGI at least coming up more often in our surveys now. You go to supercomputing, a lot of the excitement is back around this company and its portfolio. They're definitely relevant again.
Yeah, they've done fairly well. They haven't had sustained profitability, but they've had some, and they've had growth. And yeah, I think Mark has done a pretty good job of pulling that company back together after, that merger. So yeah, best of luck to Mark. And, we'll look for who they pick as the new CEO, I guess, probably earlier in the year.
Yeah, well, so this actually brings up an interesting thought question that I wonder, which do you think is the most compelling job opening in HPC right now? Is it CEO at SGI? Is it CTO at Cray? Or is it the general manager of the Tesla business unit at NVIDIA? Which of those is the highest profile job?
The highest profile? Well, I think the most need is the CEO at SGI. I think, I think they can fill in at NVIDIA certainly for the time being. And yeah, I mean, Cray needs a CTO, but it seems like the critical path, I think, is having somebody head SGI right now. That would be the top pick for me. How about you?
Yeah, I think so. I've been monitoring the other two, wondering who they're going to get. But if you go with high profile, I think it's got an urgent need. SGI is going to need someone in that chair. It disturbs me a little bit that the Tesla business unit position's been open for so long. I wonder who they're eventually going to put in there. I think they need to get the right person for that job. But
Ian Buck is he's listed right now as the general manager of GPU computing, not the Tesla business unit per se. So maybe he's fulfilling some of that role. I'm not sure, but yeah. So they've got multiple people in that area. So maybe and of course Steve Scotch there is the CTO of the business unit. So maybe between Ian and Steve, they sort of have Andy's covered. So
well, and Sumit Gupta's been taking on a lot of that responsibility himself, I think.
Right, exactly. So maybe they have that. But yeah, I'm expecting the CTO of Cray announcement anytime, but I don't even know where they are with that.
Well, we'll get one more podcast in by the end of the year, Michael. We'll have kind of a year in review. So if any of those get posted, we'll be able to slot it in. Otherwise, it's news for 2012.
Yeah, we're getting down to it. Yeah, one more podcast for the year, and then we're taking a little hiatus there, short hiatus.
Well, thanks, Michael, for dialing in the middle of the night. I'll let you get some sleep, and we'll see you back in the U.S. soon.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, safe travels, partner.
Thank you.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.